Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Father, have your way within this service tonight, Lord God. Edify your people, exhort and encourage, Lord God. In the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus, we ask you these things, Lord. Have your way within this service, Lord God, within our lives. Father, we need you. We're dependent upon you, Lord God. In the wonderful name of Jesus, amen. You know, brothers and sisters, there's a lot of wonderful things that are taking place in the mind of God. I can remember, as Brother George ministered the gospel, ministered the word, he'd say there's great significance. He would say so oftentimes, he'd have a meeting. It might be in Boone, North Carolina. It may be over in the areas of St. Louis. It might be over in the areas of Georgia somewhere. Wherever it would be, he would always say, not in every perspective time, but he'd said, if you could only see the significance of what is truly happening. Heard him say in a message not many days back, he made a statement. He said, you know, if people could see the significance of what is really taking place here, he said, you couldn't get the people within 100 miles. He said, they would back up for 100 miles. And then somebody, I guess, was maybe, you know, thinking he was exaggerating. He said, no, I was just trying to spare you a little bit. He said, it'd really be 1,000. He said, you couldn't get them within as close as 1,000 miles of here. And you know, brothers and sisters, if somebody thought that over here at Christian Temple Church, that there was an understanding that would come forth of something that we were giving out tonight that would give them eternal life, and that they would never die, that they would pass from death unto life. You know, you think, well, there would only be standing room. No, there wouldn't be standing room hardly within 100 miles if people really truly thought that. And the problem is people think they have eternal life, and they think they have it through some means of religious endeavors on their own selves, and they've missed the Lord, brothers and sisters. You don't have eternal life because of your church association or church attendance, or because you said a fancy prayer one day, and you called it the sinner's prayer, the Romans road to salvation. It isn't because you spoke in tongues or danced in the spirit. If you have eternal life, it's because Jesus Christ predestined you before the world ever was and chose you, amen, and put your name in the book of life, amen. So you might say, well, in that case then, if he did or if he didn't, you know, it doesn't have really any matter of what I do. Well, the Bible does say to make our calling and our election sure. And the thing is you could take a lighthearted look at it and say, well, you know, I guess it doesn't matter what I do or this and that. And then that would be the thing to seal in your predestination into eternal damnation. Amen. But when you have a desire and a heart after God and pressing your way into the kingdom of God, and you truly examine yourself and see if you be in the faith, and you continue to press and to press and to press, God will recognize and see that election before the foundation of the world was there within your heart. And it's that day star trying to shine forth, and it'll be seen and recognized and honored that you are a blood-bought, born-again child of the living God. Amen. So, you know, when you get into teachings and doctrines and things, and it depends on how you perceive and how you hear and what you think it is. There's so many thoughts on predestination. So many people think it's this way or that way. And the predestination is in only one thing, and that is in Him. Amen. There's no life outside of Him. There's no way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way. It's Him and Him only. And I would exhort you this evening to fall in love with Him. Amen. Fall in love with Jesus and let Him, again, as we sang, let Him be your everything. Amen. You know, you think, well, I've got a life to live. I've got, you know, a family to feed, and I've got obligations. I've got workplaces to do, and I got all these other things, you know. And what you'll do is you'll find yourself in an Indian death march, and you'll find yourself like a man running and beating at the air. And if you are the elect of God and predestined into eternal life in Christ, and you seek after the things of recognition or the things of business, and you seek after those things, He's going to do nothing but thing. He's going to blow on it. He's going to get in the way of it. I'll share a personal testimony without getting into detail. But we was involved in a business venture that we believed was of the Lord. And it seemed like a lot of travail and a lot of problems and complications and financial struggles. And you know, many times I could tell you this, when you hear from the Lord and you're doing an endeavor for Christ, you know, you think, well, I know we've heard from God and I know this is for the Lord. And you think just everything is just going to, the floodgates of heaven are going to open up and everything's just going to be so easy. And we're just going to walk in with no problems or complications. Well, it isn't that way. Sometimes people think complications, they've missed the Lord. Lord. And they think, man, this is a pretty tough way and a lot of hardship stuff. We must have missed God. All I could say is go back and read your Bibles and go over and read the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that He is God. Amen. And I find a man that his life as the Son of Man walking among this earth was full of vexation to the Spirit, full of travails and misery and sorrows and heartaches. You might think, well, he felt the infirmities that we feel. And when you're crucified in the house of your friends, brother, sister, maybe that's never happened to some of you, but I'll tell you, he felt those kind of infirmities and went through so many things. You know, and if you think he must have missed the Lord. Man, he was spit upon and beaten. His beard was plucked. His back was plowed like a field and beaten. He was crucified, put on a cross. And then we go over and talk about Brother Paul. He said, man, I was in pearls of the sea or out floating for a night and a day. And said he was taken and stoned so many times and whipped 40 stripes less one on so many different occasions. And you know, and you think, well, you know, Paul was pursuing or persecuting the church, and that's why he went through those things. Well, was Jesus persecuting the church? Was he doing that? And he said, well, he went through that for us. Well, then what about you if he says equip you with a mind to suffer? I'm speaking like this for a reason, brothers and sisters. You know, so many times we will see circumstances of things that happen in people's lives, and we're so quick to make a judgment. Well, this is the brother ain't right with God, and this is the judgments of God. He isn't where he should be, or this wouldn't be happening. But brothers and sisters, I'm telling you one thing for sure, that God has his way in every aspect of our life. He has his way if it's in suffering. He has his way within poverty. He has his way within wealth. It doesn't matter which one it is. We recognize him, and I say we seek him in everything as we sing the song, and we look for him in everything, and then we'll find his way. The difference, brothers and sisters, in the time aspect that you're in some of these persecutions, tribulations, or travails, or wildernesses, the time amount that you're in them is conditional. You know, if we find the mind of God and we keep our hand in the nail-scarred hand and we know that we're following and being led by the Spirit of God, He'll lead us through these things. Some people fall off. Some people die out, lose out. And some don't make it through because they failed to keep their hand in that nail-scarred hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's having His way, brothers and sisters. He's having His way in our nation. He's having His way in our political powers of America. He's having His way at Little Bethlehem. He's having His way at Christian Temple. Now, when I say that, so oftentimes, we could say, well, these things were foreordained before the foreknowledge of God. And you know, that's the way it's going to be. Well, there's some foreordained or predestined into eternal damnation. There's some predestined into eternal life in Christ. Is it His will for them to be predestined into damnation? No, it isn't. But yes, He has His way in it. I want you to turn with me over into the Old Testament to the book of Haggai. Let's turn over there a little bit. Maybe the Lord will speak through us tonight and speak to you, encourage and help you. Let's go here to Haggai, the first chapter here. Let's go to the first verse. Some of my pronunciations may not be correct, but just bear with me and let's find the mind of the Lord if he'll allow us to. Amen. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai, the prophet, unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, thus speaking the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai, the prophet, saying, it is time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. A lot could be said there if we would stop right there, wouldn't it? I could say a lot could be said there, brothers and sisters. I'm talking about in my own life, talking about you, what the Spirit of the Lord says to one, He says to all. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, verse 5, of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much. Now let's consider our ways and read the scriptures here and find the mind of the Lord for our life. You know, it'd be wonderful for you to hear the word of the Lord for Brother Rob, or me for you. But you know, brothers and sisters, I'm going to say a couple things here before I go on and read here. I was speaking with a minister. I speak to a lot of ministers around the country. Try to encourage them, and I try to purposely say things that I know they don't understand. And you say, well, what good would it be to say something to somebody they don't understand? Because if they have a desire for the word and for the truth of God's word, and you say something they don't understand, it should stir up something to perceive in within them to draw and to listen and to try to press in. I find myself saying things that I know they don't understand so oftentimes, but then I pray that they will get an understanding and a revelation of the things. And you say, well, I'd like to say things to people that they do understand. Well, brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. The thing is we're dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ to open up our understanding. The understanding that we press into with an intellectual concept is a carnal understanding. It don't matter if we mix religion with it or the Word of God with it or the quotes of this Bible or memorize this Bible. If that's all it is we pressing into an understanding to retain of knowledge. Brother Pike wasn't trying, and you've heard me say this before, he wasn't trying to get us to contain some kind of a concept of a mind. He wasn't trying to get us to study certain quotes that maybe Brother Branham said, or quotes that he said, or quotes that Brother Paul said, or quotes that Peter said, or whatever. He wasn't trying to get us that. He was trying to get us in the mind that made the decisions. The mind that made things happen and it moved the spirit world. There's so often times that we will listen to the preacher and there's things that can be, for lack of expression, advantageous to us in our spiritual walk. But if we're not listening properly, they won't be. And I was speaking with a minister and I was speaking about myself that I wanted to make changes and grow in the grace and knowledge of God, that I would have a greater mouthpiece. Now, so oftentimes you could speak for something and you could be accurate and right. And what you spoke and what you said is correct and right in terminology's sake. And what you say could be so accurate, but then yet it doesn't move people. Now, if I went to the seven sons of Sceva for an example, they said what was right. I adjure you, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ. Man, I mean, there is nothing more precise and right and accurate. It's the name with all authority and power. There's no other name given among men except that name. But you see, did they pronounce the name Jesus wrong? Did they not raise their voice up? See, the problem was there wasn't virtue in their life. And virtue could only come forth by the Holy Ghost and by the Spirit of God emanating. You see, when the woman touched the hem of the garment of the Lord Jesus, virtue went out of his body. You see, brothers and sisters, when we're full of the Holy Ghost, this is how healings come to people. It isn't because you're a healer or because you read in the Bible that he took those stripes on the back. It is because of the virtue of the Holy Ghost, the virtue of God, the virtue of Christ is within you, and it's going to go forth. And the thing is that we so oftentimes can say what needs to be said, and we say, well, the problem is they don't have ears to hear. Jesus said that to them, didn't he? He said, though you have ears, you do not hear. So there is a time that this is a problem. But if you look at everything and you make it the people's problem and you don't consider yourself, you don't examine yourself. If everybody's deaf and everybody's blind, then I could just quit preaching. I mean, if everybody's deaf, why, Lord, should I preach? But then yet I'm commanded to go forth and preach the gospel. I've been filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. I could open up blinded eyes and deaf ears. And see, there's many people in that condition in our country. There's many people in that kind of condition. So the thing is I got to examine myself and see if I would be where God could use me. And the thing is that if someone touches the hem of my garment and they leave with an issue and without healing, then where's the problem at? You see, it's right here. Well, I was speaking to a minister about this the other day. And they tried to offer an encouragement to me. You know, like, oh, Brother Rob, you know, listen, man, you know, if you got a word from the Lord, it's the people's responsibility. You just got to deliver the message. You're not going to be accountable. Where's growth in that? They're trying to encourage me, and I look, and they're so dull of hearing. Sometimes we could use ourselves. Brother Pike, I remember him preaching, and he said, well, I'm saying we instead of saying you. And you think, well, that's just humility. Well, it could be, and Brother had that. But on the other hand, brothers and sisters, sometimes a man of God can speak through humility and show that there is a weakness within his own fleshly members and that he's got the same travails and warfares that we can also learn to perceive and to hear. And hopefully he is an example to godliness and holiness and virtue and righteousness, that he could be an example of those things that we can press our way in more and more to that. So let's pick back up here. I'll just go back to verse 5. It says, now therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. My testimony was reversed of that just a little bit ago, wasn't it? I've sown little and brought in much, testifying the glory of God. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe, ye, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. Now, if I was going to stop there, could I say, brothers and sisters, raise your hand if you've ever been there. And I'd have to do both hands. Amen. I'll tell you what, brothers and sisters, I thank God for the times that I've witnessed His Word. Brothers and sisters, I've witnessed God's Word in my life. In failure, I've witnessed it in power, I've witnessed it in weakness. I've witnessed it in health, and I've witnessed it in a physical afflictions. And the thing is, I find that He's there, and He's a powerful God, an awesome God. And you know, we need to learn to see Him in all perspectives of life and know that He's never left us or forsaken us. If we're going to believe His Word, let's believe all of it. And let's stay with all of it. Amen? Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Looks like verse 5 was repeated there, wasn't it? I wonder why he would repeat it twice. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it and will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why? Saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Is this ever a message that we need to minister? Brother Rob, we've been out doing church jobs, man, trying to help. We've been doing this and doing that and doing this. Well, then maybe I'm not speaking to you. I'm talking to myself. I look at my own life and I think, what are the accomplishments? I'm examining myself. I'm considering my ways tonight. Brothers and sisters, and if I am the pastor of this church, then how much more so even you need to consider your ways? And the thing is, brothers and sisters, we could say, oh yes, man, we've done this and we've done that. But what is the outcome? Have we truly considered? Have we looked? You know, brothers and sisters, we could do a lot of things and we could receive reward on this side. We could have a plenty, live in a house of plenty. We could have so many things to testify that the glory of God is with us and the power of God, and He's a providing God for us. And we could see all that, but what if the provisions are just being a reward to us on this side? And what's on the other side? What has been stored away? What is put where rust, moth, and decay can't get to? Have you considered looking beyond the veil? Have you considered looking on the other side to see what's truly stored up there? I did that. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, you know, I can tell you that a few months ago, if I would have went off the scene over here on the street over here, I know for a fact Brother Rob would have made it in. By the grace and the mercies of God, that's how I would have made it in. Because He purchased me and redeemed me and paid for me with His own blood. And I know His word is true, and I know I would have made it in. But the thing is, brothers and sisters, I considered the things that have been stored away in heavenly places. And I'm thanking God that He spared me and gave me a little bit of time to labor that I could have jewels, brothers and sisters, in the crown of life. In a perspective that I could have things sown away. And you say, well, what is it, Brother Rob, when we get on the other side? I know there's a different reward system. And what do you want to be? Want to be served and taken care of and live in mighty places? No, I want to be a servant of God. I told you that was my prayer. You know, they talk about the marriage supper of the Lamb, and I teach those three different dimensions of that. Because if it hasn't already taken place, then we've got a problem. And I know that there's a perspective to the Jew, there's a perspective to the elect Jew or the true Jew. Spiritual elect is what I'm trying to say. So I know that we teach this in different dimensions, but brothers and sisters, I think of a time that the Lord Jesus Christ is sitting at the table, I want to be the one serving. Man, it would be such an honor. Well, I'd rather be sitting there by Him. No, I want to serve. Amen. I want to give and give my time and give my substance, give my strength and give everything and serve. I can't think of anything more honorable than that. And I pray and hope that He gives me the desire of my heart. Amen. That I could do that. You say, well, I just want to get up there and I want to have people taking care of me and doing that. Well, I hope it works out for you. Amen. And I truly do. I hope it works out. I hope I can get to serve you. I hope, man, it'll be such an honor if I think I get to come over and serve you and give benevolence unto you and help you and do that. I mean that from my heart. That would be a true honor to think that. But my heart is to serve. My heart is to give. Verse 8 says, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Yea. Verse 9, ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why? Saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heavens over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labors of the hands. Then Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Joshua the son of Jehozadak the high priest, which with all the remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. I'm going to stop there, man, because I'm going to go on. But brothers and sisters, it wasn't the fact that the people weren't laboring. It wasn't the fact that the people weren't bringing an increase in. It said that they built the house. It's speaking of them bringing the provisions and the things in, but God said that he done something with it. He blew on it. I'm saying this for a reason, to show you the importance of seeking God first. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added. You see, if we're not seeking God's kingdom, but because of some intellectual way or some skilled ability or skill, or because we live in a prosperous nation or time or country, we could have. And there is such an uncertain sound that goes forth so often time. We have men that fellowship amongst us that would be considered rich. We're all rich, brothers and sisters. I've been in poverty countries. And you know, sometimes we sit around and we say, oh man, it's kind of tough and this and that. You are rich. I've been in poverty countries, brothers and sisters, that they don't have the opportunity of electricity and they make out well. You know, it wasn't that many years back that our ancestors didn't have electricity and they made out fine. They went along just fine. I was speaking to a minister and I was telling him about the Western religion, how it's destroying and ruining the world. You know, the Bible says they make twofold more the child of hell. You know, they surpass in land and sea. You know, we think, oh, America's blessed and America's strong. We're sending missionaries and evangelists throughout the world. And yes, America has been blessed for sending out evangelists and sending the word of God out into a heathenistic world. And America's prospered and been blessed. But now America has turned away from Christ and from God. And they've turned to their own strength, their own power, their own militant strengths, and they've turned away from sending the word of God out. The things that they're allowing to go forth is perverting the world. I made a statement. I said, you know, the church that was in underground because of communism, and they had to pray and seek the Lord, and they knew they was putting their life in line to go and worship the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would be put to death. Those people had faith, and they had prayer lives, and they were serious people in the perspective of a love relationship with God. But now that the Iron Curtain is coming down, and now it's opened up, and we get to send the pretty boy Benny Hinn over there and have their big meetings and their big things, and we send our television broadcast over there, and we got our TBN with our Paul and Jan Crouch, the great harlot of all harlots, and they're sending that kind of filth and perversion in there, and it's destroying what the people had before they had to get on their knees and they had to call upon the Lord and they had to trust him. But now it's just handed to them. You see, if you read about the layout of the CND church, you'll see where the problem is. They're rich, they have no need. You know, we don't have no need of God. We got healing mess. We have no need of God. We got, you know, physicians. We have no need of God. We got everything. But they're miserable and wretched and naked. But back to the scriptures here, brothers and sisters, is when we see the blessings had come, or the fruit of even their labors with their hands. But then yet we found that God blew on the substance. You see, I'm expressing here the need of having God on our side. The need of having God in our arrangements, in everything. The need that we have of God in every aspect and every perspective of life. And the only way that we can have that is by seeking him in all things. The Bible says if we're going to labor, we do it for one reason. The Bible says that we labor, that we have to give. And you think, well, God's this big, selfish God, and he always wants us to seek after him first and always do for him and do for him and do for him. Well, if that's the way you feel, we're just reading about you here, and he's blowing on everything that you have. Because let me tell you something. You go out and work with your labors without God, and you will have an increase because his word is true. There is a reward for all labor. You go out and labor, you'll have rewards on this side. But brothers and sisters, what does that mean? It's nothing. It's all goes to corruption. All goes to nothing. We need to be storing things away in heavenly places. But when you're seeking after his kingdom and you're storing things away from there, the Bible teaches very clearly that it will overflow and rain and be pressed down to us here now. And the benefits that we're having now, brothers and sisters, are just an overflow of the abundance that he truly has for us. Now the thing is that when we are selfish and we think that we're going to seek after our own and our own households and our own things first, then We're just in our own might and our own power, and there will be a reward for that, but His blessings aren't there. But when we seek after Him, then He provides, adds an increase and a provision. Don't be so simple-minded and so small in the mind of Christ that you can't understand or perceive what I'm saying. Brothers and sisters, the thing is this is a supernatural God that we're trusting to give us eternal life, to take this old mortal, corruptible, this body of corruption, and to take this body and change it into incorruption, and take this temporal life and change it into eternal life. And we're trusting this God to do this for us so we could live with Him forever and ever. But then yet we can't trust Him with our business, with our families, with our marriages, with our children, with our substance, with our finance. And we can't trust Him in that. And we think, oh, why does He always want us to give and give and give? Brothers and sisters, I'll tell you something. You'll come to a revelation if you do it, that you'll come that you cannot outgive Him. Brother Pike made a statement one time. He said, give yourself rich or keep yourself poor. You see, the mind of man, the intellectual mind, the mind of man says, man, I got to save, I got to keep, I got to manage, I got to do this. If a carnal-minded individual watched me with the finances of the Lord, he'd think, boy, this guy needs financial counsel. My wife said, man, it was my daughter, Sandy, said the other day, she goes, I've watched you, Dad. You go into some of these places and you give money away like you're, I can't remember the expression she used, but I guess some multimillionaire or something. My reply to her was, I said, well, my father owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. And the thing is I feel like I've done nothing. I haven't given enough. I'm telling you, I feel so far from where I should be. And the thing is when I see such a need in America, such a need in the world and around this world, I see such a need and I feel so inadequate that I can't meet the need or can't do it. And my God's a supernatural God. So who am I preaching to tonight? You see, brothers and sisters, I got to examine myself. I got to consider my ways. Am I doing these things to please God? That I get the supernatural attention of God? That He can truly add and increase? I don't need Him blowing on what I'm doing. I need His help, His support, and His strength. And He's given that to us, brothers and sisters. I can stand here and testify about the provisions of God and the giving of God. But brothers and sisters, let me say like this. If I was in need of finances and a multimillionaire came by and handed me $10, and I said, man, thank you so much. And I went over here and I bought me a Happy Meal or whatever they got down there. I could say, man, thank you. But you know what? If I would have really got the man's attention, he's a multimillionaire and I'm the guy in need, he might have gave me enough that I could have gotten 2 Happy Meals. Or 3 Happy Meals or whatever. I'm talking about our God. It's an awesome God. And the thing is I'm not talking about for me. I'm talking about something I could have to give and to give to others. So where am I limited at when we're serving an unlimited God? What has brought the limitations in to what I do? I have. It didn't say consider Him. It said examine myself. Well, I'm going to examine you, God. I know that you're a great, awesome God. And I know that you can do anything and make the things that are even impossible, that you can make those things possible. Because that's what your word says. So I'm examining. I got to examine myself. What is the hindrance between me and the great provisions of God? What is the hindrances between me and the people receiving the healing? What is the differences between me and me bringing the revelation or the word of God to people? Now, I could say this, that we could go back and use him for an example. And there are people that limit themselves when they're standing in the midst of an unlimited God. As again in the Bible, it says that in Nazareth, there wasn't many miracles wrought there, according to the scriptures, because of one thing, it was unbelief. So are we in unbelief because we don't seek God first? Well, God, I've got to take, I've got to do, I went to church Sunday, God. So now Monday, I've got to seek my own thing. I sought you first the first day of the week. I gave you that day. Now I've got to go do my own thing. Today, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I'm going to do my own thing. I'll go over to your house on Wednesday night, and then I'm going to go back and do my own thing. Boy, you poor thing. You see, what you got to do is turn your thing into his thing. You understand what I'm saying? If you want a successful business, let your business be God's business. If you want a successful household, let your household become the household of God. It doesn't matter, brothers and sisters. We can apply this in all aspects of life. And if we're involved in something that we can't apply this kind of doctrine to, we need to get out of what we're doing. Because I don't want to be involved in anything that I can't bring God into. We have a brother that goes to our church and he goes on vacation from God. Well, I've done pretty good, so. You know, it's like, you know, we work. You know, man, here I am. I'm under the, you know, the whip, man, so to speak. I got a boss. He tells me what to do and when to do it. Man, I get a week vacation. I'll see you later, boss. I'm out of here, man. I'm taking a week and I'm going to go do what I want to do. That's okay, but you don't take no vacation from God. I remember learning to fly. I'd be in an airplane with Dad. And my dad's a perfectionist and a very professional pilot. And when you're flying on an airway, the federal government says this airway's a mile wide, and my dad's airway was about a half an inch wide, and the airplane had to be right on it. And if you told him you was flying at 5,500 feet, when you looked down at the altimeter, it was at 5,500 feet, not 5,450, or not 5,500 feet. Everything was just like, man, it had to be right on. So when it's an airplane, man, you're watching everything and keeping everything tuned up and just as accurate as you could be. Boy, I'd get him out of the airplane. I'd be out by myself, and I'd just kind of like, man, I'm going to waller the sky out, man. I'm going to just all over the place and going this way and that way. And I had to just see what it felt like. But on the other hand, I appreciate the strictness of training to be professional and perfectionist. And I could use that as an example. There's people that way. Like, hey, man, you know, I'm under these guidelines, you know, of the Lord, you know, and I got to do this and I got to do that. You know, it's not the do's and don'ts, brothers and sisters. The do's and don'ts aren't for you and your eternity. The do's and the don'ts that you are doing is not for your salvation. That's not how you got salvation. The do's and the don'ts is for other people could see salvation in you. Because the don'ts mean that salvation isn't there. When you are doing the don'ts, does that make sense to you? That almost sounded like that chapter over there in Romans when he said, I do the things that I don't want to do and I find myself not doing the things that I want to do. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we preach do's and don'ts not to put you under a law, but that people could see Christ in you. And if I backed up to some of the things that we started out here with, you know, it said, consider our ways, examine ourselves. And the reason that we're doing that is that we could be a vessel that God could use. But if we're doing things that are dishonorable to the Lord, and we got aspects and lifestyles in our walk, and the things that we're doing, then it's hard for God to use us. I know His reign comes on the just and the unjust. I know God has used people that are filthy and wretched and immoral. But it's the rain. But I'm talking about there's a difference, brothers and sisters, with this river of life coming forth from within and the rain. There's a total difference, a very, very total difference. As they were looked here and we read about them, they were thirsting and they weren't finding satisfaction. They were eating, but they weren't finding themselves filled. They were clothing, but they weren't finding themselves warm. When the Lord said, drink of this and you'll never thirst. Brothers and sisters, we could put the wedding garment of the Lord Jesus Christ on and we'll never, ever be cold. We'll never be in problems and complications. This is what we're pressing for and to do. And the thing is if we would get ourselves in order and examining ourselves into the order that God would have us to be in, then we have come to this potentiality in Him that He could fulfill within our vessel or within our lives, brothers and sisters. And when we talk about provisions, we talk about substance, we talk about having things, that's all fine and great. But there's many people that have the provisions, they have the finance, they have the money, but they have not God. So what is the difference? Well, if you're the elect of God, the thing is He's going to blow on your substance. If you're not the elect, He ain't going to mess with you because He doesn't chasten but His own. When my son found himself in jail several months back, over here in Lexington. You know, and I said, son, look around. I said, is it unfamiliar to you? I said, this isn't your place. This isn't where you're supposed to be. I said, do you feel like the prodigal son that found himself in the pig pen desiring to eat of the husk? Look around. I said, this isn't your world. This place isn't for you. Examine, look, and see. Brothers and sisters, examine, look. What's happening in your midst? What is going on around about you? Are you truly satisfied? Are you content? I mean, if you're just looking for worldly gain and worldly pleasures, what is that? And you lose your own soul. The Bible said, what is it if you gain the whole world? You know, we could read these scriptures and we could apply them in so many different aspects and different things. But what I am saying is this in the perspective of looking at your substance. It doesn't matter if you've got $5 or $50,000 or $500,000. I don't want God blowing on it. I mean, if you only got $5, I mean, you need the $5. I mean, there's been times I didn't even have $5. I remember one time we went a long ways to go to a church service, and we didn't have much finances. And I thought, well, maybe, you know, let's see what we can pull together. And had four children in the car, and I said, let's go to McDonald's. And we went off to McDonald's, and, you know, they used to have a commercial there that, you know, for 99 cents, you get a hamburger and a Coke and a French fry and you got change back. But I don't think it's that way no more. We were kind of checking out what we do. We went over there and we got in line. It didn't seem like it was in line but a minute at the drive-thru window. And they got some kind of problem, I guess, in the car in front of us. We pulled up to the window. And the manager slid the little window. He said, sir, I'm sorry it took us so long, but your lunch is on us today. And I thought, man, I should have had to pay for the Big Mac. You say, why do you say that, Brother Rom? Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, when God is honoring what you're doing, and you're about doing it, if you reason it out before you go, I can't afford it, I can't do this, I can't do that. But if you do what he asks you to do, he makes a way. The preparation of the McDonald's manager's heart is from God. And wherever it may be. Do you believe that? And you know, brothers and sisters, if we would seek after the Lord and walk after his counsel and his ways, we would see his provisions and him moving in our midst. Let's read just a little bit more. I won't keep you too long this evening. Let's go a little more here. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in this Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. Isn't that a nice thing to hear? I'm with you. I am in you. Hallelujah. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 24th day of the 6th month in the 2nd year of Darius the king. In the 7th month, in 21st day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once is a little while, and I will shake the heavens, and the earth, and the sea, and the dry land, and I will shake all the nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with the glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts, and this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. You know, the Bible talks about a former and a latter day reign. And you can say, well, maybe this is what it's speaking of. And I would say, well, you'd be correct to consider that. But brothers and sisters, when we talk about a God is and a God was and a God is to come, and we have to take, and we're always differentiating the Word of God. And when we read the scriptures, if I go and read Matthew 24, most people read Matthew 24 as a future perspective of the end times for this world. And they're correct. But then yet I could read Matthew 24. If you're not sure what I'm speaking about, I'm talking about it speaks about the signs of the times or the end of, you know, what it would be and the things that would take place. When I read Matthew 24, brothers and sisters, I read it just as I read this right here. I read it as was the things that have taken place. And is things that are happening and things to come. Now we could look at this in the same perspective. But brothers and sisters, when I read the scriptures, and if I'm going to be reading the scriptures about the Antichrist, we could say there was an Antichrist that was, and one that is, and one that is to come. So we find the same thing. The Bible said that the spirit of the Antichrist is among us. And there's many Antichrists. So, you know, I could get into the studies of the Word and I could go over and say, well, there's going to be an Antichrist going to come up over here in the Middle East and he's going to set up rule over there, and we could talk about the abomination of desolation, put it all in a future perspective. And we'd be accurate. We could get a following. We could get people's attention. We could teach and give our life to those kind of studies. But brothers and sisters, the thing is, there's people that have gone on. Some to sleep, some to death. And they've gone on and they've understood these teachings in a natural dimension about the Antichrist and about to come. They understood things naturally about the Lord Jesus Christ coming back as a thief in the night, or coming back, and, you know, in like manner that they saw him ascend from the Mount of Olivet, in like manner they saw him ascend. They knew he was coming back in like manner, but they missed the coming of the Lord when he came to them and he walked among them. You see, brothers and sisters, this is why we have to examine ourselves. This is why we've got to consider our ways. Because many times we get into what we call the mind of God, or we get into the Word of God, and we'll go and we've got everything looking for some futuristic perspective, some future move, some future reign, some future avenue, or we're stuck in some past tense move, or some past tense message of some kind. When God is... What is God doing today? What is God doing in your life? What is God doing in your household? What is God doing in your business? What is God doing in your thoughts? What is God doing for you today? You see, you don't move people. You don't win souls. Either when souls are wise, and the wisdom in winning souls isn't about what God was or what God is going to be. It's what God is. You want to win a soul? What has God done for you? What has He delivered you from? What has He set you free from? How has He helped you? What has He done for you? That should be a testimony. We overcome Satan by the word of our testimony, brothers and sisters, and by the blood of the Lamb. But what is the word of your testimony? What is your testimony? Is your testimony about what some great man of God did? Is your testimony what God is going to do? Or what He did for the people of Israel? Or what He's going to do for them? What is our testimony, brothers and sisters? Has God enlightened you? Has He opened up your understanding? Has He blessed you? You see, you could have a testimony, man. As I said, I raised both hands. Yes, I've been there. I've seen God blow on my substance because I didn't honor Him. I didn't honor Him first. I didn't honor Him. Brothers and sisters, it's important to honor Him. As the song again we sang, everything. Jesus is my everything. He is my counselor. He is my redeemer. He's my Prince of Peace. He is my boss. You say, I never heard that. Well, King, He is my headship. He is my leader. He is my God. He's my guide. He's my strength. He's got to be everything. You see, brothers and sisters, if you are a working man, usually a working man has an employer. He said, well, I'm self-employed, man. I'm not submitting to nobody. Well, let me tell you, you'll find yourself submitted to that one that's going to write the check when you're out there doing your own job. Man, I've done all this work. I need that paycheck. Well, this is what you're going to do. Man, I've had him with a flashlight and had him down crawling on the knees, down the baseboard, pushing the carpet down off the baseboard. I repainted the house. Everything was pretty and looking good. Crawling down the shag carpet with a flashlight, pushing it down, saying we got to touch up here and pushing down, touch up over here a little bit. But we satisfied him. We got the job done. I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, you find yourself submitting. Oh, yes, you're the boss. And crawl around on the floor. You think, well, maybe God was humbling you. Yes, He did. But I believe in perfection, and I do press Him to do that. For good people and virtuous people, or sick, perverted people, when you're out there working, sometimes you find yourself subjecting. You say, why'd you say all that, Brother Rom? Well, I said all that to let you know that when you think that you're self-employed and your own boss, you're going to find yourself going through things of such. And you'll find out that we need a boss, and it's Jesus. We need to let Him teach us to orchestrate ourselves and how to be a servant and what it means to be a servant and how to serve. Amen. So He was an example, Him being God, and He said, no, I'm going to wash your feet. You know, He was the God that spoke everything into an existence, created all things visible and all things invisible. And yes, He could have had them cleaning His feet. They could have had Him offering service to Him in every way. But no, He said, I came to serve. He's an example. That's what we need. We need a servant's heart, brothers and sisters. And we need to give. And where do we start at? By giving to the Lord. Say, what are you going to do? Take up an offering, Brother Rom? No, I'm teaching you a principle, brothers and sisters. Start seeking and honoring God in your first fruit in everything. Yes, in your finances. Yes, in your life. Yes, in your time. Yes, in your marriage. In everything. Again, as we sang the song, everything. Let Him be in everything. If you've got to separate Him from any endeavor, any aspect of your life, get that out of your life because you don't need it. You want God in everything. You want successful marriage? Get God in it. Speak to Him. Pray to Him. Talk with Him. And you say, well, my husband is so wretched. You know, I just can't do that. You know, it's hard for me to do that. No, let me tell you, if your husband is wretched, you subject yourself to it, submit to it. You love the Lord, honor God, and you follow God and pray to God and speak to God and do this. He'll straighten your wretched husband out like that. He can do that. You cannot do that, sister. You'll never straighten a man out. And when you think that you can, you'll be like the Bible says, one running and beating at the air. It'll never, ever, ever work. Amen. And if you subject yourself to it, and then God is either going to straighten him out, out or move him out one way or the other. So he'll have his way in it. But God's not going to suffer for you to go through too much suffering. You might find yourself in some travail for a season. You say, why do you say that? Because I'm a minister of the gospel and I preach God's word, and God's word is real. Amen. And you honor God and seek him in everything, and you give him first everything, and he will bless you with everything. Amen. All of the abundance that life has to offer. Eternal life. Amen. He is an awesome God. Brothers and sisters, you'll never outgive God. If you think, well, he always wants me to give and always wants me to do, let me tell you something. When you find the principles of how he works, you move the heavens. If you want the provisions of heaven, you start putting provisions in heaven. If you want the provisions there, you want the forgiveness of God, you start putting the forgiveness in the heavens. Amen. By forgiving them that are wrong, despitefully use you and do those things, and you start sowing forgiveness, you'll receive it. Amen. You are in control of God in the dispensation of grace. You control his provisions. You control his wrath. You control his anger. You control his mercies. You control his forgiveness. It's all up to you. And what you better do is consider your ways and examine yourself and see what you have put and how you have got God moving in your behalf. If you're not happy with what's going on in your life, don't get mad at God. Don't put the blame to the devil. Consider your ways and examine yourself. You will see somewhere that you did not consider your ways and did not fulfill. And you say, well, what about Jesus? What about him when he was going through the perplexities and the tribulations and the crucifixions and stuff? Yes, he did consider his ways. That's why he had to go into the Garden of Gethsemane. He had to get and make sure that the mind of the man part wasn't saying, hey, there's another route. He even prayed. He said, Lord, you know, if this cup could be taken, but nevertheless, let your will. And you may find yourself that way, but be there before the Lord and speaking to the Lord and talking to him, and he'll lead you into all the paths of righteousness. And sometimes he will allow you to be persecuted. He'll allow you to go through suffering and to go through tribulation because he's looking for another. Amen. And you should have enough love for souls and enough love of God that you're willing to go through some travails and tribulations and persecutions for the namesake of the Lord, that you could magnify and glorify his name and rejoice. Amen. That he found you worthy to suffer for his namesake, that he could bring an increase to his kingdom. Are you there, saints of God? Are you there? If you're really there, that you can ask God to help you and to use you. I want to be in that place where God could use my life in all aspects. Amen. Pray for me. I love you and I appreciate you. Pray that I could be an example of Christianity. Pray that I could be an example of what a pastor is. Pray that I could be an example of what a husband is to be. Pray that I could be an example of what a son should be. Pray that I could be an example of what a friend truly is. Pray, brothers and sisters, for me that I could be a representative, an ambassador for Christ in this dark, dark world, that I could truly bring forth a light. Amen. That's my desire. Amen. I mean it. It is truly my desire to be a light of the gospel. Amen. Pray for me that I could go forth. But I'm telling you, get serious with God. You've got friends that are losing out. They're going to find themselves in hell. People that you associate with right here in this little church that are lost. I pour my heart out. I try to reason. I try to preach. I try to do things, and they're just so blind and so lost and so carnal. It grieves my heart. And I'm saying to you, I'm asking you, just pray, brothers and sisters. Pray, because they're so confident that they're with God. I like what that Southern Baptist preacher said the other day. I tell you, man, I liked his preaching. He said, your Romans road to salvation is putting more people in hell than the whorehouses of America. And you know, without an understanding, that would sound so offensive. But brothers and sisters, these people, they teach, you know, well, say this prayer, man, I don't care what you say, preacher. I accepted Jesus Christ. Man, I knew him before you was doing anything, and I served God before you ever walked. You know, who cares? When somebody says they know God, or they're serving God, or walking with God, or they think they're God's elect, or they're God's people, and I don't see the attributes of Jesus Christ in their work, in their actions, in their speech, in their everything that they do, then I'm alarmed as a pastor and as a preacher and as a child of God. Brothers and sisters, when you're a blood-bought, born-again Christian, the attributes of the Holy Ghost are going to be living in you, and it's going to be manifesting in you. We're going to hear Christ, see Christ in everything that you do, and we'll see him. And when the trials come, the tribulations come, the persecutions come, the stoning comes, the crucifixion comes, We're still going to see Jesus, amen. And we're going to see him suffering and swearing to his own hurt. So look for Christ, amen. Look for him in my life. And if you can't see him in your pastor, in old Brother Rob, I encourage you to find a church somewhere that you can find a man of God full of the Holy Ghost that's got Jesus in his heart, that's shining forth for the gospel, amen. And I'd encourage you to find one. And if you can't see him in me, amen, find a pastor that can. But I would say consider yourself first before you start trying to look for Christ in me. First look, consider your ways, examine your own selves, and make sure that you're where you need to be, that maybe when you look my direction, that you're not blind, and that possibly that you could see and give honor to who honor's due. And you could also consider others greater than yourself and consider yourself to be the least in the kingdom of God. And when you start considering yourself to be the least in the kingdom, then when you look over to your brother and your friend and your fellow workers or whatever you may be, then all of a sudden you'll find fellowship in the Spirit of God saying, you know, brother, I truly love you. Amen. And you know that you've passed from death unto life because you truly love the brethren. And the thing is even the ones that I'm speaking about that I'm concerned about, overconfidence is a frightening thing, brothers and sisters. And when you have people that walk in such a lasciviousness and lightheartedness with such an overconfidence, and they're so self-willed in everything that they do, even for the gospel, they got it worked out in their own little mind, their own little thoughts, their own little ways, and they don't even consider the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we need to consider the Lord in everything. Everything that we do, we need to know that we've heard from the mind of the Lord. I'm just a concerned brother and a concerned pastor because when I see people that are lacking a Holy Ghost life, it concerns me. And the first thing I get concerned with is myself. Have you preached the word? Have you stood for the truth? Have you been an example? Have you shown the light? And that's the first place I've got to go. Amen. And when I've considered all those things, then I still, brothers and sisters, as I was preaching a message, and I knew that it had to do with a soul. During this message, it had to do with a soul. And I poured my heart out because the soul that I was pouring my heart out for was my own. Because God showed me that I was going to have this individual's blood on my hands because I didn't cry out against the wickedness. So then when I recognized that, yes, I was preaching the gospel for my own soul's sake. And when God showed me that he cleared me of that, I was still broken and tore up. I didn't rejoice saying, oh, thank you, God, that you cleared me. No, I was still broken in my heart and broken in my spirit and concerned because I knew that there was a soul being weighed in the balance and found lacking and wanting and that needed to get born again and ever thought so highly of themselves and thought that they were it. This individual would go off and I was the pastor and they would go off and meet a minister that they've never met and sit and counsel with him for 10 minutes and come back to bring me counsel because got a new revelation in 10 minutes of sitting with another preacher. Went to get their oil changed in their vehicle and stopped and it was a preacher that ran the shop and the preacher spoke to him 10 minutes and they come and wanted to straighten me out in doctrine. That's frightening, brothers and sisters. But you know what the end of the matter was? A filthy whore, a harlot. That's what she was all the time. Was a whore when she sat in our church. And she was a whore when she left our church. And she went out and lived the lifestyle of a whore with many men. You see? But still it breaks my heart, brothers and sisters, because I'm a pastor and I'm come to bring the good news of the gospel and deliverance, to get people delivered from harlotry, to get people delivered from foolishness and lasciviousness in the things of the world. So, brothers and sisters, let's be a light. Let's be walking in a place and when God says, brother, sister, I need you to speak to this individual, that there could be an anointing and virtue and power within your words when you speak forth, that there'll be a power and anointing with it because you've been before the Lord and you have examined yourself. You have got the displeasing things out of your life that would displease God. And when you commit your works unto the Lord, then when your thoughts are established, your thoughts are right with God. And when your thoughts are right with God, then it's whatsoever that ye will and think he will give unto you. Amen. That's where Brother Rob wants to live. Let's stand to our feet. I appreciate you and I love you and pray for me. I've got to fulfill, brothers and sisters, a very big vision. And the thing is the vision that I have and that I have to fulfill is not Brother Rob's vision. It's not the vision of Christian Temple Church or the pastor of this church. It is the vision of the Lord Jesus Christ that he put forth within his word. Go ye into all the world preaching the gospel and bringing the good news of this gospel, brothers and sisters. And I'm putting that burden on you as a brotherhood. Let's consider again our ways. Brothers and sisters, we are going to need faith in the things that's coming on the land of America. We're going to need faith. We're not going to be able to depend on finance, on money. We're not going to be able to depend on skills and abilities. The only thing we'll be able to depend on is faith. And you say, well, Brother Rob, I believe one thing, that the church will be caught out and taken out before this great tribulation. And I believe the church will be caught out and I could just keep on living the way I'm doing and going on. And the Lord's just going to catch me out of here, and then all this bad stuff's going to happen. Well, I will say this, that I am in agreement with you in part. But I'm telling you this, that this nation has forsaken God, and there's gross darkness in this nation. And God has chosen we to be the light in this nation of gross darkness. And the thing is if you go and read your Bibles and you go and read about great men of God, if you want to go back to Nineveh, or if you want to go over to Sodom and Gomorrah, and it was some that found favor with God, but yes, there was tribulations and persecutions and hardships. Paul, when he went to the Gentile people, there was hardships, and he expressed the hardships. And brothers and sisters, we're in a religious day and hour. Everybody is religious, like the Sanhedrin was. And you will be crucified for the namesake of the Lord when you minister the gospel and make a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you have tasted of that somewhat in part, but we need to get where we are, need to be with Christ, that we can truly go forth and make a difference and be a light in this day and hour. God wants to use you. He wants to use you, your family, your business, your finance. He wants to use you. And let me tell you something. He is an awesome rewarder. You can go over here and say, man, I'm working, laboring, and I'm going to give my bank this one because I give him a cash deposit, and this banker is going to promise me back 6% or 5% or whatever. Let me tell you something. My God, my banker, my Savior, amen, he offers back. I mean, percentage is just, I can't even find the words of expression. But I'm telling you what, when you give up houses for his namesake, he'll add back 100-fold. When you give up your life, he'll add back. You're going to give up a miserable life of vexation and full of sorrows, maybe. And you might have long life and be 100 years old. And you're going to give that up for eternal life through all of eternity. And you're wondering what kind of rewards that he's offering. He commands of you for 10% of your substance and your finances. And you squawk and you squeal about that. And thinking, my, I wish I was giving him 90% and living on 10. Boy, I'd like to get to that place. I think he can give me that desire too, that I can get to a place as such. Pray for me, and I'll make it there. I want to give him all, everything. Amen. You say, well, you done said that. Well, let me say it again. I want to give him my all, and I want to give him everything. Amen. I want to hold nothing back. Amen. The only thing I've got to offer is this old wretched, miserable, temporal life, and that's just my reasonable sacrifice and my reasonable service. Amen. I love you and appreciate you, and I hope I can encourage you in the gospel, and I need your help. I need your prayers. I need your strength to help me in the endeavors for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's sing a song or two. The altars are open this evening. Pray that God could lead me and guide me and direct my paths into all righteousness. Amen. I want to hear from the Lord. I want to see, hallelujah, beyond the veil of human reasoning into the eternal life of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Isn't it an awesome thing to know the Lord? To know Him, to walk with Him, to fellowship with Him. God loves you. He'll give you everything that pertaineth unto life. He wants to bless you with everything that pertaineth unto life. He wants to give you the desires of your heart. The only thing He's asking of you is for you to give Him your life as a living sacrifice. You say, I think I've done that. Well, that's wonderful. And if you've truly done that, I'll promise you He'll bless you back and give you everything, more than you could ever imagine or even comprehend. Loving brothers and sisters, let's just close our eyes and lift our hands and worship Him. We're serving an awesome God, brothers and sisters. Call on Him. Call on His name, amen. He'll hear your prayers. Thank you, Jesus.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the Brothers and Sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.